Introduce a friend of mine to you. 3 years ago, 3 years ago and 2 weeks, we launched St. Philip's Chapel Street. I cannot believe it's 3 years. It's gone so quick. Some of you were there at the launch, and some of you knew about it a long time before the launch. And one of those people is the guy who's going to speak to us tonight. Dave gave me and Lizzie, through me, because Lizzie didn't meet him for a little while, the warmest of welcomes as we came into Salford. And as we prayed together and prayer walked a little bit together, and as I heard a little bit about what he has seen God do in Salford, I just kind of fell in love with this guy, and I'm sure you will too. His heart of love for Jesus, his heart of love for Salford and Manchester, and increasingly his heart for helping churches connect with other agencies to see change for good happen in cities all around the world. It's a real joy to introduce Dave King to you. So Dave, why don't you come up and we'll welcome you and pray for you and then hear God's word through you. Lord, thanks for Dave, and thank you for all that you have done in him and through him. And Lord, we ask that as he speaks tonight, Lord, you'd bless him. And that, Father, through his words, you'd bless and challenge, you'd strengthen and encourage and comfort us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, everyone. Hey, we're going to try that again. When in Salford, a bit noisier than that. Good evening, everyone. Hey, that's better, that's better. My name's Dave King. It's an interesting name to have. I went to Israel a couple of years ago. Yeah? Passport control. It was all right going into Israel. Coming out of Israel, they got stopped. And the lady at the passport control got the passport. She looked at the passport and went, "Is that your real name?" Now, there's a guy with a big machine gun pointing at me. I'm not going to say, "No, it's a joke." I said, "That's my real name." She went, "Wait there." She walked off. She went to the offices at the back, the passport control offices, and brought five other people out of passport control offices, two other men with submachine guns, and lined up behind passport control. And they passed my passport down the line. Now, I'm thinking all sorts of searches are about to happen, and I'm getting prepared mentally for the trauma I'm about to go through. And they passed the passport down, they passed it back up, and the lady looked at me and goes, "We've never seen King David leave Israel before." And it was at that point I realised my surname came first in my passport. So, as you can say, it's an interesting name. We're going to be looking tonight at place. We're going to be looking tonight at God's passion for your place where he's placed you. Just have a think about that for a minute. God's placed you somewhere. You're not there by chance. You're not there because it was the best price house you could get. You're not there because it was the only place you could get. You're there because God chose it for you to be an influence for him in that place. We're going to read a bit from the in a minute from the book of Habakkuk, but I'll just tell you a little bit more about me. My wife, Karen, so you know who's this funny guy at the front speaking to us. So my wife, Karen's family, they've lived in Salford for generations. So granddad used to work at the docks, then they had a bike shop and all the rest on Oldfield Road. And probably the most famous person in Karen's family was a guy called Tony Simpson. Tony Simpson got a job as a writer back in the late 50s in Granada, and had a pen name of Tony Warren. And anyone who knows a bit of television history will know what he wrote. So if you really don't like soap opera, that's the person to blame in their family. Right. For me, it's an interesting day for me today, because you don't know this, it's 50 years today since my dad preached his first sermon as a minister in Salford. So it's 50 years today of continual ministry of our family in the city of Salford. So that's it's an amazing thing. That's my, so I've been here 50 years. And I know I don't look known as I know I do. but you see, God places us places, he gifts us for reasons. It's not just by chance. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, God's placed you in places for a reason. When I was growing up in Salford, one of the questions spirits then used to ask, because I was always interested, I always felt God had got me to pray and walk around and pray even as a teenager. You know, no matter how young, God can use you. He's got stuff for you. And I was walking around praying, I used to think, I wonder if God's ever done anything here. Because when you're young, we used to have a little sort of like cocky walk. And you used to think, God ever done anything here? Because it was tough. The churches were decreasing in number, as in population in the church. And it was hard being a young Christian at the time in Salford. And the more I thought about it, the more I started to look into it, the more I realised how much God had done in this place. I just want to tell you a couple of things about Chapel Street. You know, at Chapel Street, just up the road in Victorian times, there was a church, a guy called Hugh Stowell. And if you ever come to the end of the M602 motorway and you wonder why that church tower there is there with no church, it's in monument to this guy. And this guy came into Salford and people thought he couldn't grow a church, but he prayed and he just went with God and it took time. You know, it takes time to get roots down. You know, it takes time to dig a well that's been filled back in. Do you know what I mean? At first you think, is there any water in here? And then you get despondent, you think, there's no water in here. And you have to go, and then getting old. And eventually you get to the water. But he did that, and he stayed. And he saw his church grow from quite small to just under 2,000 people could fit in the church, and it was filled every Sunday. He impacted the city. If you go to McDonald's, which is just a bit further up, somebody's just volunteered to buy everyone a McDonald's afterwards. You heard that, didn't you? If you go to McDonald's, which is a bit further up, there's an obelisk outside, a sort of statue, that's a pointer. And it's a guy called Oliver Haywood. And his actual statue of him is outside Manchester Town Hall as well. See, Oliver Haywood owned the height area of Salford. He had a big manor house. He was a big banker. But do you know what? He loved Jesus. Do you know what he did? He built churches. Some people plant churches. He physically paid for them to be built on the street. There's a guy who used to be the minister here called Canon Peter Green. He is a legend in this city for what he did for God. The way he served God, the way he served the people. He was a chaplain to the king. He wrote every week in The Guardian. He was involved in media, involved in the civic life, involved with the poor, involved with missions overseas. And God used him greatly. Two other guys who came to Chapel Street. One was a guy called John Wesley. You might have heard of him. John Wesley came to Chapel Street. He went to Greengate at the bottom of Chapel Street. Unfortunately, he was chased off and didn't come back for a bit, as quite often after John Wesley. And another guy was another guy called Charles Finney. Charles Finney came and spoke on Chapel Street. Charles Finney saw people get saved on Chapel Street as he spoke. But you know what the one lesson from the diaries of Charles Finney about what happened on Chapel Street was this. The church wasn't ready for the harvest. Because people got saved in this place in great numbers, but the church wasn't ready and they drifted away. You see, when we pray for our place, when we've got a passion to see God move, when we've got a passion for growth, there comes a challenge because it's not going to be easy. And you know, when God does things we don't expect, and some things, sometimes they ruffle our feathers. We're going to look at this book of Habakkuk. And we're going to read, first of all, from Habakkuk chapter 2, just a couple of verses. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And it reads like this. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it, for revelation awaits an anointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. There's another verse just in the next chapter I want us to read together. And that's chapter 3, verse 2. And it says this, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. I want to read that again. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Explain a little bit about this book of Habakkuk. It's 3 chapters long. I encourage you, go home and read it and just let God speak to you through it. It's not a long book to read, but read it 2 or 3 times. Let God speak to you to it. Habakkuk was written around 612 BC. It was written just before the book of Daniel would have been written, to give it some context. And Habakkuk's a prophet. And Habakkuk is in the place of Judah, and he's getting frustrated with the way the people are behaving. He didn't like the way the people were behaving, and he's having a conversation with God, and it's going a bit like, God, why don't you sort them out? You know, why don't you give it to them? Why don't you do something, God? You see, because he wanted God to have the glory, but he wanted his people sorted out. But God had a plan to sort them out. It wasn't quite the way Habakkuk thought it was going to go. It was going to take quite a long time, and it was going to involve God using some other people who were even worse to sort out these people who were bad. Habakkuk struggled to get his head around that. He's praying, and God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to use the Babylonians. They're going to come in. They're going to wipe you out. They're going to take people to captivity. They're going to sort it all out. I'm going to use them. And Habakkuk's going, God, you can't use them. Do you know how bad they are? You know, what amazes me right the way through the Bible is actually how many times God takes the people of God by surprise about how he's going to change something. Because we think we know what he's going to do, but guess what? We don't at times. But we know what the end result is going to get there, but how he gets there can be different from what we predict and how we think. And that's what's happening in this book. The first couple of chapters is Habakkuk making his complaints, making his things he's saying to God. And the last chapter is an amazing prayer of Habakkuk when he realizes what God's going to do. See, Habakkuk starts off with this conversation. He starts off speaking with God. It's an amazing thing that God hears you when you speak. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. He was in a pretty bad situation. It was tough for him. Just say this, it doesn't matter whether you're in a great situation or a tough situation. God hears it when you speak. I just want that to sink in. There's not a single word you've ever uttered that he didn't hear. He hears it when you speak. He's not got selective hearing. Yeah, I can see a few blokes nodding at me there. They know what I mean by that. He's not got selective hearing. He hears you when you speak. And he's ready to listen. But this is what Habakkuk then learnt. Habakkuk learnt he had to listen. See, sometimes when we're in a situation that's tough, we want to tell God all about it. And sometimes he's going, shut up, listen, with a Salford accent. And he's like, he's trying to get us to be quiet. And he's trying to get us to remember those words, be still, and know that I'm God. Because he's trying to show us the plans he's got for us. The things he's going to do next that are going to astound us and amaze us. But they're not going to probably be exactly how we thought they would be. Me and my wife first got married. This is where I've got to remember that back in 1992. I remember that one right. And we bought a house on a street called Norway Street in Salford. We bought the house because God showed us which house to buy. He even told us how much to offer for the house because we prayed about it. It's quite an amazing time in our lives, but he did that. We bought the house, 25 grand, and everyone's going, now, 25 grand? That's cheap. So 25 grand, we bought this house. We're excited. We moved in. And then the crime in the area and the violence in the area and the destruction in the area, it just went ballistic. It went mad. lots of people were moving out of the Langworthy area of Salford, and they were putting up what we call Salford curtains, like steel shutters on the windows. And they were leaving nice messages like, "All valuables have been removed from this house." And we were living there, and we're going, "Hold on, God. It's not quite when you tell us to move somewhere, we don't expect everyone else to start to move out. We don't expect the violence level to go up. We don't expect it to kick off. We don't expect our neighbours to move out and damp to come into our house because their houses were empty and people borrowed the boiler because they were short of a boiler." We didn't expect that. God, what's going on? God just said to us, stay there and pray. So we stayed there and prayed. It wasn't easy. The house was now valued about £2,000. It's a little bit of negative equity to sort out percentage-wise. But God told us, you know, as we prayed, God gave us three promises. He said, Christians are going to move into your house. That's what people did. They laughed at us when we told a couple of people who's going to move there. You know, Christian's going to move into your area. And actually, you're going to leave not in debt. Somebody's going to pay your mortgage off. And we stayed there. It'll be about another 4 years praying, waiting for this time. Because there's an appointed time. When God promises something, there's an appointed time when it's going to happen. And sometimes it's not as quick as you like, but it's the right time. And we prayed. And then in May time, April time, 1999, an Eden team was going to move into, the second Eden team planted out, was moving in onto our street. So Christians moving to our street. Somebody came to us and they said, what can we pray for you for? One of these people moving in and said, well, you can pray for us that we sell our house. Or we'd like your house, but we've got no money. That's great. So we prayed. But somebody came to us at the same time and offered to pay off the negative equity on the house. Somebody not connected with the entity moving in. Somebody completely different. And then we prayed, said, well, we know somebody wants it, but they haven't got the money. So we prayed again. And the rest of the money came in. So then people could, they were getting married as they moved in, could have a house as a wedding present. See, God moved 30 people in, but we had to stay there till he was ready to move them in. And we prayed. I worked in schools at the time as an outreach worker into schools. And one of the things we pray for is education in that house over and over again. And just smile at my friend Jill there, talking about education in Salford. We prayed about education over and over again in that house. A few years later, they knocked that house down. And we prayed in that house, on that land for education. They built a school on top of where that house was. And in that school on the first Sunday, Langworthy Community Church was planted into the school hall is exactly where our house was. You see, sometimes it's going to take time. Sometimes you're on a journey with God. It's not about hitting the destination. Because sometimes we want to get to the destination, but we don't enjoy the journey. Do you know what I mean? There's a reason we go on a journey with God. To enjoy it. Being with him. Do you know what I mean? When I was courting my wife, I liked to go the long way home when I was taking her home. Do you know what I mean? I enjoyed the journey. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm getting a few appreciations now. You enjoyed the journey. I didn't want to rush home and go, we got home. And you see, I'm with the one I love. If I truly love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I want to do the journey with him. I don't just want to get there. And what we're doing next, we've got to get somewhere else. Let's just get there. Appreciate the journey. Appreciate abiding in him. Appreciate just being still and knowing that he is God. This is what Habakkuk's doing in this book. He's learning what it really means. It says in the Bible to pray continually. It just means to be in continual communication and abiding with our Heavenly Father, no matter where they are. See, God put a passion many years ago in my family's heart for this city. He's placed you in your place. He wants you to be somebody who just prays continually in that place, who listens to the heartbeat of the Father's heart for that place, who's listening. That person at work who rags you off, he wants you to stop being ragged off and just listen to his heartbeat for them. Listen to the words he would speak to them, because you know what? He's going to get you to speak them to that person. He wants you to just be with him, to journey with him, to abide with him, to be with him. One of the other things Habakkuk had to do, and we had to do, we had to learn to change the question. The question we were asking in that house many times was, God, how bad can it get? Do you know what I mean? Have you ever asked that? You had a bad week? How bad can it get? And God says to us, change the question. All you're asking me is, how much can the devil do? If you're asking how bad can it get, you know, like not sort of politics at the moment, but how bad can it get? You're asking, ask this question, how good can it get? And so God had me walking around Salford, many, many, many miles walking around Salford, sometimes on my own, sometimes with others, just blessing the place with this recognition that actually, who made Salford? Think about this. Tells us in John 1 that he, Jesus, is the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and nothing was made without him. Think about this. Jesus said of Jesus, he only ever did what the Father would do. He only ever said what the Father would say. The Father willed for the creation to happen. Jesus is the Word. He spoke out. And the Holy Spirit moves in power. When Jesus spoke out and this piece of land that we now call Salford was created, guess who words made it? My Jesus' words made Salford. The very land St. Philip's Church is built upon was created by the words of Christ, the will of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. When I walk on the land, I'm walking as the son of the King. And guess what? A Salford lad can have swagger. A son of the King can have lots of it. And I mean that in a humble way. I'm walking because my dad, and I walk my hand in my dad's hand as my heavenly father. My dad wanted this place to happen. My joint heir, Christ Jesus, spoke. The Holy Spirit moved in power. And this place happened for a purpose. And he hasn't just got a purpose in that generation. He's got a purpose in my generation. He's got things he wants to happen here now, this evening. This evening is not by chance. We've got to learn to ask the right questions. How much good can this place contain? How much good can your school, can your workplace, can your home, can your street? How much good? In other words, how much of God? Because God is good. When I walk around Salford, I travel a lot more now, but when I walk around other cities with people who live there, I just walk around going, do you know what? My dad's place. Do you know what I mean? It's my dad's place, my heavenly father's place. And he's got plans, he's got purposes, and he wants me to speak the words of life in prayer into those places. He wants me to speak the words of life into somebody's life. He wants to use my mouth and my lips. I'm just a kid from Salford, grown up and gone a bit bald. But he wants to use me. Do you know what I mean? Your dad made you for a purpose. Your dad loves you with an everlasting love. A love that knows no ends. Your dad also loves everyone else and others. And he wants you to share that love with them in their place. One of the things he God really laid on our hearts when we were walking around praying for our place, and we were just sharing some lessons here tonight, was this: that all ground is holy ground. Because if my dad created it, willed it, and the son spoke it, it's holy. And God's got a vision for each piece of ground. We were walking, quite a number of years ago now, walking around an area of Salford Docks, as was, and felt God really challenges that He made this city a place of creativity. We'd done our research, we prayed, and God showed us to research and look at the creativity in this place. Karen's dad's cousin, Tony, are creating Coronation Street. You've got artists like Lowry, who come from Salford. You've got artists like Hal Riley, who comes from Salford. You've got great actors like Ben Kingsley, who played Gandhi. Robert Powell, who's famous in churches for playing Jesus. Gandhi and Jesus were from Salford. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I lined that one up, didn't I? Do you know what I mean? Creativity, so you can go through the playwrights, you know, all different people who've come from Salford. But you know what? There wasn't in Salford. God had gifted this place with creativity. Let's be honest. Let's just speak out the truth. God gifts. He gives individuals. He gives cities. He's gifted this place with creativity, but there was no center for creativity in the city. So God has us walking around praying for a center of creativity. Lots of things happened, and a place called Media City was built. The university moved, the media department down there, the Lowry Theatre was built with two theatres inside and the art galleries. Lots of things happened with creativity. You know, my dad, that was part of his, what would have been if he was an Anglican, his parish, the old docks. He used to go around there sharing Jesus with the people who worked down there. I used to go down there and pray for what could happen. You know, my daughter is an artist. She's a creative person. My daughter has exhibited her artwork in Media City. It's a generational thing. God's a God of the generations. That's why I'm loving it tonight, looking around, seeing all the different ages. God isn't just a God of one generation. It's a God who loves every generation, has a plan and a purpose. And one generation passes the baton on to the next generation. And the reason I'm sharing this, and I want to come back to the book of Habakkuk in a minute. The reason I'm sharing these stories is because I feel God's really laid on my heart to share some stories of His working and saying, do you know what? He's not finished with your place yet. He's not finished with your street yet. He's not finished with your school yet. He's not finished with your place of work yet. He's not finished with your church yet. In fact, He's only just started. And those last few verses in Habakkuk we read about writing the vision down and make it plain. And we need to do that. Habakkuk had to find what the vision was for that place, to write it down, to share it with others, to say the Babylonians are coming, but you know what? It's going to be okay. That's God's plan. In chapter 3, verse 2, we read this. It says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Just finish off. We'll come back to that in a second. I feel tonight is a time for us just to stop. Be quiet. Learn to listen. There's a lot of noise going on at the moment, not in here, but around the nation. Lots of things going on and lots of things happening and lots of people making lots of noise. And there comes a time just to be quiet and say, Father, show us your heart. Because your ways are higher than our ways. For St. Philip's here, for New Wine, for my church, wherever your church is, for my street, for my home, for my school, for my workplace, for my social club, or wherever you go, for my gym, wherever you go, He goes with you. God, what's your plan? I want to journey with you. I want to enjoy the journey. I want to stick my hand in my dad's hand. You know, when I was small, my dad used to walk me around Salford. I used to think my dad was a big dad. He was only about my size. He wasn't that big, really. I was just really small. He looked big. And as a kid walking around, I'd stick my hand in my dad's hand, and I'd think I'm with this big man. Because my dad was my hero. Do you know what I mean? I want you to stick your hand in Father God's hand and let him lead you and let him show you and say to him these words we read from Habakkuk. And you, from Lord, you can change the word to Father. That's okay. Father, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Father. Repeat them in my day. In my time, make them know. Father, in your wrath, the things you're annoyed about, will you remember mercy? I'm just going to pray, and then I'm just going to hand back to Gareth and Lizzie. But just for a moment, just let's have quiet in the room. Let's expect God to speak to us individually, collectively. If you've come with a group, to your group you've come with, Father, we just want to say thank you that you are the God of creation. Father, that your will was for this planet, for this place, for this piece of land where we are to be made. Jesus, thank you for speaking out the words. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving in power. As we stand as your creation, on your creation. As we look to the future and our journey with you, Father, in the quietness, as we listen, may you speak to us.
Let's just stay quiet before the Lord. And I just believe the Lord wants you just to commit to him. What he's just been saying to you. Just make that commitment between you and him. Of where David's spoken and God's spoken through that to you. So you've asked the Holy Spirit, what is it? Just agree that you're going to be committed, that you're going to do that thing or pray or whatever it is. And I believe that there were some people when David was speaking that you could really relate to that waiting. And I was just asking the Lord just then, just what is it? And it just felt the Lord say there were some people who had given up, and just really want to pray for you guys. Just we're going to have time of worship, but just want you guys to come up and just stand here. And it's like just saying to the Lord, I just need some people just come beside me and just pray and encourage and cheer me on. I'm just going to commit to not giving up in that waiting for whatever it is that you've been praying for. And I also believe that not only were there people who were who had given up, but there were some people who just felt a real sadness, and you'll know who, if that's you, but a real sadness in it, in the waiting. And I just believe the Lord wants to give you joy and hope, and he wants to replenish you. And I know there are a few other words. Gareth's going to come up and just share some of those words that we had at the beginning too, and that might be something for you. But I had, when we were praying, that there may be somebody here who has specifically, I think, the right ear, a problem with their right ear. I believe the Lord wants to heal you. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. And then the other healing, I just felt the Lord say there was someone with a pain specifically, at the top of your left head. Again, if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Gareth, do you want to come and share the other words?
There's only two other quick things. One was a sense of a fallow season for somebody. You know, how crops used to get rotated, and they had four fields, but used only three of them, and each year left one to rest. And the sense that maybe the Lord is calling somebody to perhaps stop sowing quite so hard and just let what's there grow up. I don't quite know what that's about. But then another word about sense of prodigals coming home. And prodigal is a word that means wasteful. And perhaps in response to what Dave is saying, or something else, you feel like you've kind of wasted what God has given for you, or wasted the call he's put upon you. And it's an invitation to come home. And you know what happened to the prodigal son. He got a big hug and a party thrown for him, and the fattened calf was killed. So to come back to the Father with not a sense of judgment, but with a sense of acceptance and celebration that you're coming back to him. So why don't we stand together?